Welcome to our program this morning, and we'll be in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 35, if you have the scripture before you. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you thinking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift him up before you and give thanks for him. And we lift up his name, the name that's above every name. We pray for the people that are listening today that it might be a message that would be from you by the leading of your Spirit, the message that would be the appropriate one with the words from you. And we just ask that you would guide and lead in Christ's name. Amen. As we find ourselves in John chapter 1, we're glad to be with you again as we are going through this gospel according to John. And we find ourselves today with followers of the Lamb of God. Followers of the Lamb of God. We see such men as Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. We see these men mentioned, three of these men were of the 12 disciples. But it's interesting to see here where it's unique compared to the other three gospels, that here we find this passage. And primarily this passage is not recorded in the other gospels with this short consideration of verse 42 where Christ tells Peter of his position in the future in the building of the church, which is Christ. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we see that Christ speaks to Peter in concern, in connection with this. But other than that, this passage is only found here in John chapter 1. So as we see here in verse 35, let's pick up where it says, and again, the next day after John stood, this is John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. If you remember back in verse 29, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he says again, behold, look, the Lamb of God. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So here we see two disciples of John, and they wanted to know about this one that John said was the Lamb of God. We're not given the name of one, but the other one is Andrew. Andrew. And we find out that this is Peter, Simon Peter's brother. And what do we find here? As Andrew becomes a follower of this one, the Lamb of God, it says that they inquired, where do you live? Where do you dwell? Where do you abode? Speaking to Christ, and he said, come and see. Come and see. You know, when one are pricked by the Spirit of God and they want to know more about Christ, doesn't he say, come and see? We think of the psalm that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We see here that the Lord said, come and see. And it was less than a day this man, Andrew, abode with Christ, and he came away a believer. It doesn't tell us what he saw. It doesn't tell us what Christ said. But it does tell us in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Anointed, or the Christ. We see there in verse 41 that in less than a day, Andrew was a believer. He said, we found the Messiah. Imagine this. 300 years since the Old Testament had been completed, and they did not have the New Testament. They were living out what would be the New Testament era. And the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah to come. They were waiting for this one, the Deliverer, the Great One from Heaven, the Messiah, the Son of God. They were waiting for him. And when one would come up to his own relative and say, we found him, we found the Messiah, Now, this was rather unique, wasn't it? But Andrew, from what he had heard and what he had saw, was so convinced. There was no question, apparently, to him, for he went to his brother and said, "We have found the Messiah." My friend, can each one of you today say, "We have found the Christ"? We know this is the one. This is the anointed one that was spoken of time and time again in the Old Testament. Spoken to his chosen nation Israel, that this one, the Messiah, would come. And yes, this is the one that was upon that cross. And here, as they were looking toward the cross, they said unto Peter, Andrew told them, "We have found the Messiah," as he was beginning this public ministry on the way to the cross. And as we see here, isn't it interesting that Andrew went first to his own brother? Isn't that the way it goes with us even today when we come to the knowledge of Christ as our Savior and we have joy unspeakable, that we first find our loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our dearest ones, the ones that mean the most to us on the physical sense, from the natural sense, the people that we know and care about, aren't they the first ones that we want to know that same peace? Think back to when if you were saved as an adult, and recently, as part of a Bible study, or Bible school rather, and even with children, when they hear about the Lord, and in childlike faith, sometimes they would receive the Lord even at a young age. How many times in vacation Bible school have you seen a child be the vehicle of how a parent would come hear the gospel? They see the interest the child has, and we see how a relative is shown this one, Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord has to save, but we as people can point out the Lord. And here, Andrew pointed out the Lord to Peter. And we think of this as a, reverently speaking, we could say this is the big catch. We see here Peter, a man mentioned some 100 times and more in the New Testament. Andrew, his brother, is only mentioned 13 times. Peter was the preacher at the day of Pentecost. He was the one that wrote by the inspiration of God 1st and 2nd Peter, and he's mentioned more than anyone in the early parts of Acts. This man, Peter, used in a great way. How many people have ever heard of the person that pointed Billy Graham to the Lord that was preaching when he was saved? But we've all heard of Billy Graham, haven't we? Think of Andrew, a man not very well renowned. But we need more Andrews today, people that will point out Christ. Would to God that we would be like Andrew, not looking to be of any great fame, but you know, we might point out Christ as someone who one day would be a great man or woman of God. In the sight of God, people like Andrew are great men of God, I believe, because God's not looking for people with titles. He's looking for people to do His will, that know Him as their Savior. So we need both the great Peters of this world, the great Simon Peters, that do wonderful things in the name of God. Yet we need those Andrews that go out and find first their own brother and show the Lord to them. So here we see Andrew and Peter. We see that these men here, Andrew and the other unnamed disciple, first they followed, they questioned, then they were invited. The Lord said, "Come and see." Now, when we think of this, let's think of how our relatives, when we go to them, they're not only ones that we care about, but they're ones that may listen. They might give an open ear to someone that they think a lot of or someone that they can trust. So when you come to know Christ, what a golden opportunity to first find your own brother, to find those which are so near and dear to you, and point out Christ to them. Many of us that know Christ, those that are our closest relatives and family and friends, are the ones that are continually on our prayer list, aren't they? That they would come to know Christ as their Savior and have peace and joy as we know in Christ alone. Having our sins forgiven as far as the east is from the west, forgiveness of sins, peace on earth here with God, in eternity with Him. So we see here, first, Andrew and Peter. continue on through, we see verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. He says unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So here again, people of the same community were the ones that had been shown the Lord already, Andrew. And of course, Peter did not confess the Lord until in this particular chapter, but we read later, when he was asked, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But here we see a different approach. We see Philip. He didn't spend a day with the Lord. He didn't have questions. This one, Philip, simply, when it was said to him, follow me, he did just that. We think of Matthew. Matthew Levi, this one where we see recorded the book of Matthew, was at the toll gate of custom. He was a tax collector. And the Lord went by him and said, follow me. Matthew, a man that apparently could have been wealthy. Tax collectors in those days could apparently a lot of times was able to collect more than was legal. They could take some and pocket it themselves and collect what they could from the people. And we see here a man that potentially had wealth. We know the scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is a snare to people. Here was a man that dealt with money, a tax collector. Yet he put all behind him, it says, and followed Christ. Simple obedience. Simple belief. We see how in 1 Thessalonians, when Paul was telling the Thessalonians, reminding them how they had turned from idols to the living God. Simple faith. They repented. They turned. They obeyed. Obey the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here we see with Philip, simple faith. We see here, just as in that matter of simple faith, we think of that one Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, of how he wanted to be healed of leprosy. He went to Elisha, and he was upset because Elisha didn't come out and see him face to face. And Elisha had said, just dip yourself 7 times, he sent word, in that Jordan River, and you shall be healed. And he got upset. And then one of his servants came to him, this great captain of Syria, and told Naaman, says, look, if it had been something great, wouldn't you have done it? But all he asked you to do was to simply obey and dip yourself into the Jordan River 7 times. Isn't that a picture of us today? People today, by nature, want to do something. They want to make it complicated, the gospel. If it's something difficult, as that servant asked Naaman, wouldn't you have done it? People today want to say, well, hey, I'm going to boast. I'm going to say I'm a church member for 50 years. Or I'm going to be a moral person. I'm going to be the greatest neighbor. I'm going to be the best person I can be. But when the Lord is not asking you to be for salvation wise, He's not asking you to go join a local church. He's not asking you to be baptized. These things are well and good in themselves after you're a Christian. But to become a Christian, it's a matter of simple faith. When this man, Naaman, did what he was asked, simple obedience, he was healed of his leprosy. A great picture. It says his flesh came as a little child, clean. That's what happens when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and by simple faith accept Him as our Savior and Lord. We with childlike faith become clean. Our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. My friend, have you simply obeyed the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Join us next week from 10:15 to 10:30, Sunday morning, with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Thank you.